one. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now, look at verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you. Look at verse 22. And they journeyed from Kadesh, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. And look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death, and said, and then chapter 34, verse 1, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, and so forth, and so on. And then look at verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, whether we will consider it or believe it or take it to heart, what the woman said was true. For we must all needs die, and there is water poured upon the ground. Father, we rejoice that death was no intention of thine at the first, that it was something that man brought upon himself by disobedience. For it's by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. And thou didst say to the first man, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And we have read in this portion about three more deaths, and yet this is no exception, but this is something that has been experienced by all men, save two, and one who entered into death and arose and is alive forevermore. So, our God, we pray that from the portions telling us about life, we shall profit, that also from these portions telling us about death, we shall prosper. So, teach us from these portions, we pray. We ask of thee, our God, that the word that went forth all over the land this day shall be blessed of thee. You have already promised, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereto I sent it, and prosper in the thing wherein I please. We are glad of this. So bless thy word. Let us know, our Father, that so often we sow seed and wonder if anything will ever come of it. But you have said, my word shall not return unto me void. So for all who have spoken thy word this day and have heard it, let it find a resting place in the heart, and let it, in thy time, bring forth fruit. Now prepare our hearts for the consideration tonight. Send us from our sins, we confess them, and prepare the hearts to understand these words, and empower lips to speak them, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. It is a coincidence that I'm speaking on this portion today, because here is the death of a family, and I remember just 21 years ago today, my mother died. But here, it was something that was different inasmuch as in a year's time, a whole family died. Now, there were never but three in my family. My father died first in 1941, and then my sister in 1960, and then my mother in 1969. And God has given me all of these years to live afterward, to think about them and the life they lived, whether long or short, and whether it amounted to something, what was accomplished. And that is what happens when people in your immediate family die. I might read about somebody else, it's one thing, but when your own flesh and blood die, then you think of it in a more serious way. And about this family, this was the whole family of Amram and Jochebed. Amram was the father, Jochebed was the mother, and if you look at it and take it in a straightforward way, you will find that Amram married his great aunt. But if you look at the genealogy and try to put it together, it seems as if there may be some families that were left out in between. But just taking it that way, here are two from the same family, and they married one another, and Amram and Jochebed have it recorded in the Word that they had three children. Does any brother know who the oldest one was? No? Any brother know who the oldest one was? You only have two more to guess. Who? Miriam. Exactly. All right. How much older was Aaron than Moses, David? 3 years. 3 years. And I take it that Miriam was 3 or more years older than Aaron for this reason. The first mention that we have of Miriam is not by name. She is simply mentioned as the sister of Moses, and that is in Exodus chapter 2. Moses was supposed to die the day he was born, but then after 3 months, his parents were not able to keep him concealed anymore. And perhaps all the children remember how his mother made a little ark of bulrushes and stuck it together. And then the mother took it and set it in the river among the reeds and left it. But it says his sister stood afar off to see what would happen to her baby brother Moses when he was left in that ark of bulrushes. And that sister was Miriam. Wasn't named there, but she is the one we're going to consider tonight. In the will of God, in these Lord's Day evening, we'll consider the death of this family. But we're going to consider Miriam after I tell you a little bit about the whole family. And it's this, that it tells us how old Moses' father was when he died. A special prize if anybody can tell me how old he was. He was 137. Moses was 120 when he died. Aaron was 123 when he died. And inasmuch as a little girl looking out for a brother would have to be 5 or 6 years old at least. You don't even let children that young go near the water. And so I figured that she is, say, 6 to 10 years old, and she is his little sister who's watching as Moses is in the bulrushes. And you remember how Pharaoh and her attendants came down, and she lifted up that little ark and opened it, and when she saw the baby wept. So let's speak for a moment about the wisdom of Miriam, even in her childhood. She carried it off beautifully. I've seen some children that you want to keep a secret, and this is such a secret, it's a matter of life and death, that they cannot keep that secret. You say, now we're going to have a surprise for your father, and don't tell him. And as soon as the father comes in, Dad, We have a surprise for you, but we're not going to tell you about it. That's what happens. But in this case, here is Moses, and his life is at stake, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him in that little hawk of bulrushes, and then when Miriam sees Pharaoh's daughter looking at that baby, she goes up and says, "Do you want me to go and get a nurse from among the Israelites to take care of it?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Well, that's a fine idea." And then little Miriam goes home and says, "I brought Moses back home. He's safe. You can take care of him." And so that was the wisdom of that child, 6 or 10 years old, some early age, but her wisdom is manifested at that time. And then the next we hear of her is how long later? Some brother tell me. 80 years. The next time you see her, she's 83 years old. Because it tells us about Moses being brought up in Pharaoh's palace. It tells us that it came into his heart when he was 40 years of age, we learned this in Acts 7, to go and visit his people. But it doesn't tell us anything about Miriam. And then Moses, at the age of 40, flees for his life and stays in a far country until he's 80 years of age. And then when he comes back, Miriam, Aaron is 83, Miriam over 83, which means not 83, but 90 years of age. Some 90 years of age, and she's been in Egypt all these years, and we know absolutely nothing about her. I can't tell you if she ever got married. I can't tell you because it is nowhere recorded. She's found just a few times in the Bible, but it never mentions her husband. So often, if a wife is more important than the husband, it will mention the wife, and it will say whose husband was so-and-so. At times, it speaks of the husband and then whose wife was a prophetess. But in this case, it never mentions a husband. It never mentions any children. All it tells us is that she had the wisdom to look out for her little brother Moses. And then she passes off the scene for 80 years. And so then she is about 90 years of age when we see her again. Then it means that she lived 40 years as well. Because instead of turning to the passages laboriously, let me tell you what it says about them. It says in Numbers chapter 20, you may look at that for a moment. It says, "And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there." Now, this is why you have to search diligently, and let me show you this. In chapter 20, look at verse 24. "Aaron shall be gathered unto his people," and so forth. And look at verse 28. "And Moses stripped Aaron, and Aaron died there." Now, when did he die? Keep your place, but turn to chapter 33. Chapter 33. And look at verse 38. "And Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the 5th month on the 1st day of the month." And then concerning Moses, you will find that in the 40th year, in the 11th month, he was speaking to the children of Israel, and sometime after the 11th month, after the very last, then Moses dies as well. So what happened in this case was the death of Miriam, and then the death of Aaron, and then the death of Moses. In a year's time, less than a year's time, the whole family dies. You say, that's so sad. In one sense it is, but it is the goodness of God for this reason. Concerning Moses and Aaron, he said, you're not going into the promised land. But he let them up to the 40th year, in the case of Moses, the last month, live before he died. He said, you're not going to the promised land. And concerning Miriam, and this is what is so important, she did not die for the same reason that Moses and Aaron died. They died because of their personal disobedience, their misrepresentation of God at the waters of Meribah. Do you remember how God told Moses to take the rod and stand before the rock and speak unto the rock? And Moses smote the rock, and Aaron was in agreement with him. And Moses, instead of speaking to the people, speaking to the rock, spoke unto the people. And when he did, God sent forth blessing, the waters from the rock, but he passed judgment upon him. And he said, you shall not go into the promised land because you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people. You see your responsibility? People must look at you and God be sanctified. What do people do when they look at your life? When they look at mine? Isaiah and Paul both say this. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the behavior of Israel. And I'm wondering about my life. If God's name is blasphemed, if the word hypocrite is spoken, if that is so, then God is not sanctified in my eyes. And here is something that forcibly struck me. It's this. Do you realize that when God said, you're not going into the promised land, it was not for the same reason that the nation of Israel did not go into the promised land. In Numbers 14, because the discouraging report was believed by the nation, and they said, we can't go in, God said, you're not going in. And that's why they did not go in. Joshua and Caleb prevailed at that time, and God said, you can go in. But at that time, praise God, Moses and Aaron stood fast, and they were not included in that exclusion from the promised land. And now think, they come up to the very year in which they're going to enter the promised land. And after 40 years of obedience to God as a whole, 40 years of obedience to God, Moses rashly has an outburst of temper on his heart. And God says, you're not going in. Now think of that. If it had happened early along, but for him to be so close to go in, and God said, you sinned, you're not going in. Now I want us to think of that, because this is something that's good for me. I'm older than most of you here, and God has kept me hitherto. But if God is going to give me the promised blessing in 40 years, and I'm faithful for 39 years, but in the 40th year, sin, do you think he will do any more for me than he did for Moses? You say, why should he? I cannot answer that question. And so you remember that it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And so here is Moses, that was not weary in well-doing, and the people provoked him again and again, and he cried out to God, I can't bear this people any longer. And God sent him relief. But for 39 years, he was faithful to God. And then in the 40th year, when he was about to receive the blessing, he rebelled and did not sanctify God in the sight of the people. And the Lord said, you're not going into the promised land. Now, whether you and I like it or not, whether we say, that is severity, that was the pronouncement of God. And God expects ever so much of such as Moses. As for Aaron, I have said, he failed at the very first. But in the case of Moses, it says he was the meekest man in the whole earth. So remember that these two died in the 40th year, and God in his goodness also allowed Miriam to live to the very year of the entering in of the promised land. And so Miriam died in the first month, and then in the fifth month, Aaron died, and then at the very last of that 40th year, Moses died. And when they died, it means that not one person living who had been above 20 years of age was alive when the children of Israel went into the promised land. You say, isn't that a remarkable thing? Yes, it was. No matter what age a person was, if they were over 20, then if they were 21, they died when they were about 60, 61, if you include the 40 years. They didn't live above that. And while some lived to be 120 years, if a man is 50, he might have lived to be 90, but he could have lived to be another 120 years like Moses did. But his life was cut off. And so obedience still determines the length of life. God takes some obedient ones away early in life, the way he did John the Baptist, the way he did James, one of the chief, Peter, James, and John. And in Acts chapter 12, James is put to death. But others, God, because of their obedience, adds length of days to their life. But in the case of Moses and Aaron, no telling how long they could have lived had they obeyed God and gone into the promised land, but they disobeyed God, and so they terminated the length of their life by their disobedience to the command of God. Now, how long do you want to live? It says, he that will see good days and have good things in life, let him do this and that. You say, I can will to enjoy life. I can will to have good days. Yes. And God says, he that will do this. And then it says, let him refrain his heart. And it mentions the evil things that happen that we are to refrain from if we will enjoy life and see good days. And so it's a matter of the will. So what we have to do is this. If we have run 39 of the 40 years and say, well, because of my faithfulness for 39 years, God is going to let me into the promised land. Do not believe such a thing, because I just read to you about Moses. And in like manner, I wonder, I do not know that Miriam did not die because of her rebellion against Moses in Numbers chapter 12. I can't tell you. It may have been. But let's look at that now. Turn to Numbers chapter 12. Just read it and then turn back to the first passage where she's mentioned by name. Look at verse 1, because this could be something that caused Miriam not to go into the promised land. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. Just keep that in mind. She did not, with Moses and Aaron, rebel at the waters of Meribah. She had already died. And inasmuch as God did not say that Aaron was going to be kept out of the promised land, even because of this uprising against his brother, I cannot say for sure. But it may simply have been that she was worn out at the age of 130 years for this reason. If Moses is 120 and Aaron 123, then here is Miriam, and let us say that she is 130 or more years of age. It may simply have been old age that caught up with her, but remember that God is able to prolong days even in the lives of those that are old if there is something for them to do and if they have been faithful to God. So I'm not able to tell you if this was the cause. But now, let's look at a happy hour in her life in Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now, let us look at verse 21. And Miriam, verse 20, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So here is a woman. If you ever see pictures and you see a young woman with a tambourine singing and dancing and carrying on, and someone has painted her, you make sure that you look at her face carefully, because she's about 90 years of age when this takes place. Moses is 80, and Aaron is 83, and Miriam is older than they. But now, here is something that is an insight into the life of those who are in Israel. We've heard nothing about her now for 80 years. We've heard about her when she was a little girl and she looked out for her baby brother, Moses, and she saw to it that her own mother cared for her own child, and that's all we know about her. But we learned this, that little child grew up to be a prophetess, and inasmuch as at this time she is a prophetess, then during all of those difficult years when the children of Israel were crying out to God because of the taskmaster and the burdens that he laid upon them, they had Miriam the prophetess who could speak to them, who could tell them things that God wanted them to know. Miriam was one who led them in song, and here is something that's very important. Even though it's the Old Testament and not the New, and we do not read in the New Testament about women taking the lead in music and leading in singing, yet here is an example. And in the Old Testament, I can read to you again and again about singing men and singing women. And so here is one who is in charge of the musical women that sing in Israel. And I think that's a good thing. Here is one who could get the other ladies together, get song out of them, lead them, be one who could set an example before them, and she could sing sad songs and the cheerful songs and whatever song was upon her heart. There are those who are able to do that. She was one who excelled in music, and she was one also who excelled in assistance to those that needed to know the mind of the Lord. Because there was no difference, save the sex, between a prophet and a prophetess. Both of them are those who commune with God and get God's message and give it to man. In the New Testament now, the male prophets prophesy all places, at all times. The women are not permitted to prophesy in the church. They are to keep silence. But you'll find that Philip had four daughters that prophesied, four virgin daughters that prophesied. And so outside the church, that was their privilege, to make known to others, in subjection to men, of course, to make known the mind of God. Because the word prophetiuo is to foretell, or to foretell the mind of God. And here is something that is overlooked today. The counsel that should be received from older women by younger women. It's put this way in the New Testament. The older women are to teach the younger women. Yes, they have a sphere of ministry, and here, from the example of Miriam, it's in the sphere of music, but also it's in the sphere of the Word of God itself, making known the mind of God in the lives of others. And the Lord does not object. He gifts women as well as he gives man, he simply limits the sphere in which they exercise that gift. So look at this joyous day in her life. After being born and seeing her brother almost put to death, now she sees her whole nation delivered. But after being a slave herself for some 90 years, now she is free and she's on the way to the promised land. Now it may have been because of her age, just as others who were old. It may be that nature took its course, and this is what is going to happen. You and I are going to die according to our physical makeup unless God intervenes. That's what men fail to understand. You inherit certain tendencies, strengths, and weaknesses, and if God does not intervene, nature is going to take its course, and you and I are going to die at a certain time. That's why some people live longer and some live shorter unless God intervenes. But then sin shortens days and righteousness lengthens days if it is controlled by God. So in this case, it may have been that Miriam would have died before she went into the promised land anyway. But I think that this is a blessing of God for this reason, that the Lord let her get as close to the promised land and as near to the day of promise as he could, because it was the 40th year. Aaron got a little closer, and Moses got the closest of all, but none of them got into the promised land. All of them made it to the 40th year. Aaron second, Miriam first, Moses last, but all of them almost lived to get into the promised land. So, think of this now. Throughout her days as a slave in Egypt, life had to go on. That's what we fail to understand. We are liable to think that there was no religious life, there was no communication with God, there was no singing in Israel all the time, but there was. It may be that quite often the songs were in a minor key, and it may have been sorrowful prophecies concerning the questions that would be asked Miriam. But still, here was God, and God took this prophetess, and in the book of Micah, we shan't turn to it, but in Micah chapter 6, God, speaking of the blessing that he bestows upon the people, he speaks of sending with the nation of Israel Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Now think of this family. Hannah could say, I brought forth Samuel. But Jochebed could say, I brought forth Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Three children that have been a benefit to the people of God. Moses, God's prophet, God's leader, the one who was so intimate with God that no other prophet had the communications the way he did. We'll see that in a minute, God willing. And here is Aaron, the priest, the one who interceded for the nation of Israel. And here is Miriam, the prophetess, who also communes with God, who also leads the songs for God. And the Lord says, when you were going through the wilderness, I sent you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. So think of this, the goodness of God, the blessings of God through one family, and then this family dies, the whole family dies in a year's time. And think of this now. Here is the old sister Miriam, and she dies. And Moses and Aaron sorrow for their sister. Think of the stories that they could talk about that they had with their sister, and there was sadness in their heart, but only for 5 months, because God then says to Aaron, now you're going to die. And then think of Moses. Just 5 months ago, his sister Miriam died, and now this very month, my brother Aaron died, and just before this, God told me that I'm going to die. And so, at times, in the very last year of our life, it is filled with sadnesses. Who likes to tell things like that? God lets us know that. At times, there are joys and victories, but then again, in the case of some, we live and we see our older sister die, and then we see our older brother die, and then God says, you are going to die as well. This is the death of a family. The three brilliant children that Amram and Jochebed brought forth, all of them used mightily of God, not perfect, and yet used mightily of God, in 1 year's time, they die. Now this, look for a moment in Numbers chapter 12, because this is the only bad thing we ever read about Miriam. Not much we read about her, but most of it's good. But in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and Miriam, notice she's put first. When you read of the children, it says, the children of Amram and Jochebed were Moses, the most prominent, Aaron, and then Miriam. But now, notice, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. You see how easy it is if there is someone in your family that is of greater importance than you, for you to think that they are not so important because I am his older sister, I am his older brother. But it may be that God has taken the youngest in the family and made him the greatest. But it is so difficult for the human heart to accept that. And because of it, look, it says in verse 2, they didn't like his marriage with this foreign woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only with Moses? Hath he not spoken also with us? And the Lord heard him. Do you remember similar words to those? Don't lose your place, but turn to Numbers chapter 16. And listen to the words of Korah. Korah and those that rise up against him. Verse 3. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and they said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, lift ye up yourselves above the assembly of the Lord. When will people ever learn? Have they not just seen the consequences that happened to Miriam for doing this? And yet, here they are, right afterwards, doing it themselves. And a severe punishment befell them. But look, it says, look at the pride in their heart. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only with Moses? Hath he not spoken with us also? And it's true. Think, here is Miriam the prophetess, and she had communed with God. And here is Aaron, the high priest, who has the Urim and the Thummim. He can commune with God, learn the mind of God. And here is Moses. And now Moses does something that seems so human, so natural. A weakness of the flesh, marrying this Cushite woman. And so they look at him and say, oh, you're the one that's so important, are you? Listen to the attitude of their heart. Hath the Lord spoken only to you? Have they not spoken with us also? They are not able to distinguish the intimacy with which God spake to Moses and the way that he spoke to them. Now look, for the sake of time, verse 6. God said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, and this is including Miriam, the Lord will make known myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, and not in dark speeches. And the form of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And so this is the presumption of man. Here is a man that does a very human thing. Here is a need in the human heart. And God acknowledges it. And God does not criticize him for doing this. Whatever the social implications might be,
God does not criticize him, but Aaron and Miriam criticize him. And look at verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud removed from over the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, O my Lord, lay not, I pray thee, this sin upon us, for that we have done foolishly, and for we have sinned. Let her not, I pray thee, be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, and he answered the prayer. You see, Moses has saved the nation of Israel, and now Moses has saved the health of his sister. This is the bad thing that God speaks, that records concerning Miriam. So in our lives, there are the good and the bad, and because of the intercession of others, then this judgment that fell upon her was taken away, and then perhaps she died peacefully about 130 years of age. Death in the family of Amram and Jochebed. Miriam was the first to go. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that when it does come time for us to die, and our hope is that the Lord will come and we shall not die, that it shall not be because of something we've done that our days have been shortened, but as John says to us, and now little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Lord, after so long a time, let us endure to the end. Let us not prove foolish, like Moses, like Miriam and Aaron and Moses, and then in the last year of their lives, lose out on the blessing that could have endured. Bless these teachings to our hearts, we pray, by thy Spirit. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.